like to read some scriptures here in Genesis. I was thinking about Jacob, and I'd like to read Genesis 27 and verse 41. It said, "And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days, until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me?" Oh, thank you, Brother Gary.
Let's read that between services and I forgot.
I was thinking here, we know the background, how actually she said, what you've done to her, your brother, she put him up to it. And anyway, we know the story, the background to that, how Jacob deceived his father and took the blessing from him, and Esau's wrath was kindled, and he wanted to slay his brother Jacob. I want to drop down to verse 6. It says, "When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob, and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother, and was gone to Padan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael, and took to him the wives which he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife." So, I don't know, it seems like there was a soft spot in Esau's heart. Something touched him when he saw Jacob following the counsel of his father and mother, and he married at first. The first wives were of the daughters of Canaan that displeased his father and mother. But Esau probably tried to make amends. You remember God blessed, said that Ishmael's seed would be blessed. But I want to read now in verse 10. It said, "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and said, How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And Jacob made an altar there with the stones. But I was pondering how Jacob felt. And my little message is found in verse 16. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. I was thinking how Jacob was... I don't think he realized what things were going to pan out for him when he deceived his father and took the blessing. And then also, you remember, he made Esau. He didn't make him, but Esau sold his birthright to Jacob. Jacob had the pottage. He sold his birthright to Jacob. But Jacob, I wonder in his mind and his thought, he was probably thinking, if I only... First of all, he was going to a place that he had never been before. Going to a strange land, new circumstances, new situation, leaving everything that he knew, father and mother, leaving home, and going to another place. And I was thinking that maybe he thought, if I wouldn't have listened to my mother, if I wouldn't have deceived my dad, I wouldn't be in this predicament. Now, it said he used stones for a pillow. I don't know how that sounds like a difficult place to me. I like a pillow. But it sounds like a difficult place that he was in. He probably had regrets. He probably wished things could be different. This was probably all sudden, unexpected. You know, leaving all of his possessions, leaving all of his father's house, everything that he had. But perhaps the clothes, a little bit of satchel maybe that he was able to carry with him. But it said, the Lord, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. I didn't realize in this circumstance, in this situation, that God was here. And the Lord revealed himself. And I believe that dream, Jesus mentions the same thing to his disciples. He mentioned in the New Testament. He said, the heavens will be open. You'll see the angels ascend and descend upon the Son of Man. It represents divine help, divine assistance, divine aid, divine blessing. But Jacob didn't recognize that at first. He didn't recognize that. He said, the Lord is in this place, and I didn't really recognize it. I didn't know God was here. And I think about sometimes, you know, the Lord worked, you know, maybe the Lord worked through... His mother, I don't believe that things had to transpire the way they did for God to have blessed Jacob. But that's the way it worked out. But God worked through their humanity, through their failures, through their circumstances. He was still there to help and be with Jacob. And I think sometimes we get in places too that we don't really sense the presence of the Lord. Sometimes we get into circumstances and situations that we don't maybe feel the presence of God, that we don't recognize that He's there. But I think about how God can turn, and that's one of the great miracles and the great powers of God, that He can turn things that look like they're wrong. He's still there. He's still there. You know, we can just look on the circumstances on the surface and say, well, that should have never happened, and maybe it shouldn't have, maybe, you know, I don't know. But I do know that God is still there. I do know the Lord can still bless in whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, whatever trouble, whatever difficulty, God will be there for us. If we love Him and we're serving Him, He'll be there for us, even though sometimes we don't recognize His presence like we would like to. I remember Sister Angela one time, she testified, it's been a few years ago, and the way she described it as going through a desert spiritually. And she didn't have any feelings. She didn't feel God's presence, and I believe she said it was for over a year. She didn't sense God's presence. She didn't have any emotions, any feelings. And when she was testifying, she felt like since that time God had blessed her. But at the time, it was like she was going through a desert dry place spiritually. Where, as far as she knew, she was still committed to God. She was still serving God. She was doing all the things that she knew to do that was right. But it was just like it was a desert place spiritually to her. And I think too about, I believe sometimes there's going to be times in our lives that we don't really feel. You know, there's a song, I love the song. It says, "Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power. And I can see His grace." And it's just like the presence of God is in the place and everybody's enjoying the presence of the Lord, and it's beyond question and beyond doubt and beyond... But you know, it's not like that all the time. In our spiritual life and our spiritual journey, I believe there's places sometimes that we don't want to be in. There's things happen that we wish they wouldn't have happened. But you know, the Lord can still be with us. He is with us in those times. He promised He would never leave us or forsake us. He said, "Lo, I am with you even always unto the end of the world." But there's times that we just don't feel sometimes His presence and His blessing, and we don't want to discount God. We don't want to fall into disbelief or dismay, but we want to hold on to God and hold on to His promises. And I believe Jacob, I believe he wanted the Lord in his life. And I, you know, here's a young man that's going out, doesn't know what the future holds. What does the future hold for him? You know, it looks like he's not getting a good start here with everything that's happened. But the Lord was in that place. The Lord was there, even though he didn't realize it. I think also of the life of Joseph. You remember Joseph, how his brothers abused him, mistreated him. And one of the things that touches me is when they came back and they were conversing among themselves and not knowing that Joseph was their brother and that he was hearing what they said. They said, "We heard his cry, the cry of his soul. We heard the cry of his soul." That's not worded exactly, but we heard his cries. And yet we turned a deaf ear. We turned our back. We turned... You know, Joseph, You know, I know the Lord can bless us and the Lord can help us, but I know many times it takes many prayers. Many times it takes change and adjustment. It's not like it's the Lord answers one prayer and everything's fixed. I believe Joseph probably struggled. Maybe he thought, "I shouldn't have ever told them my dreams." Maybe he felt like he was blaming himself. The scripture really doesn't tell us, but you remember he told the dreams to his brothers and they were moved with envy when they heard his dreams, and even his father, they didn't like the dream. Maybe Joseph said, "I wish I would have kept my mouth shut." But regardless of the circumstances, you know, the brothers doing what they did. And I'm sure it probably took time and a lot of praying for Joseph to come to that place of adjustment and surrender. You know, there was probably a longing in his heart, maybe for weeks, maybe for months, to go back. To go back home. He probably had that longing. Maybe he had it for years. Who knows? But he had to continue to surrender and believe and trust in God. And it doesn't really, I'm just giving some details and things that could have. I just know that life is real and there are battles and they're not won just on the first prayer. Sometimes it takes time for us to get into the place that God wants us to be. But God was with Joseph. I don't feel like he probably felt that at the first. But Joseph loved the Lord. I believe he wanted his life to be for God. I believe he wanted. But then a Potiphar's wife accused him, and here he was cast into prison. I think his faith was challenged. I believe his faith was challenged. I believe he probably questioned, "Why, God, why are you doing this? Why am I here? Why am I in this place?" And yet God was there all the time. The Lord was there all the time. And it's so easy for us to read the end of the story. We say, "Yeah, the Lord." And Joseph, Joseph told his brother, he said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." What a marvel, you know, even things that are meant to harm us, even things that people do against us, God can turn those things around. And that's what he did for Joseph. You know, he turned all that around for Joseph. And there came a time of deliverance. There came a time... Brother Willie talked Wednesday night about waiting patiently for the Lord. You know, Joseph had to wait. He had to wait. And I believe it was 2 years. You know, He told the butler, he said, when you come back to your place, he said, remember me. And the butler forgot. Here I am, wasting away in this prison, and this butler is out of prison, enjoying his freedom, and here I am, sitting here, down in this dungeon, but you know the Lord was there. The Lord was in it. And I believe when time was ripe, when things were right, when God, the Lord brought deliverance. The Lord helped Joseph. So the Lord was with Joseph all the time. He was watching over Joseph's life. He was there in his good times, in his hard times, his bad times. You know, he had some sons there. That was a good time that he had there in Egypt. That was, you know, the Lord, he said the Lord made him fruitful in the land of his captivity. God blessed and God helped. But I want to encourage us today, because sometimes it seems like God doesn't maybe answer prayer like we'd like to. I want to get another scripture in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Second Corinthians, 4th chapter, in the 8th verse. It says, we are troubled on every side. Thought I was a child of God. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Now, could that feel like the Lord wasn't really there blessing you and helping you when there's trouble on every side? Yes, it can feel that way. We are troubled on every side, yet I'm troubled, and yet I'm not distressed. In other words, I'm not despaired. I'm troubled. I've got troubles. I've got difficulties. I'm kind of close to the bottom, but I'm not. I'm not gone yet. You know, it seems that way sometimes. It seems like. And I guess that sometimes it's my own time. Sometimes it's just like you're just barely getting by. In certain circumstances, it just seems like you're barely getting by, but you're getting by. But you're getting by. That's what he's saying here. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. Perplexed. When I think of that word perplexed, I think of not knowing what to do, not having all the answers, maybe not knowing what decision, what course to take. Perplexed. But he says, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. That's quite a scripture. Bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Lord, help us today to have a faith and strength to carry us through those dark times, those difficult times, those troubling times. I think of Jesus as he hung there on the cross. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He felt alone. He felt trouble. He felt difficulty. He felt pain. He felt agony. Did God forsake Jesus? I don't believe He did. I've heard people say that God had to turn away because of Jesus was bearing sin. I don't know. Maybe He did. I don't know. But I don't believe the Lord forsook Him. I believe God was there. I believe God gave Him grace to do what He did. To be able to stand before Pilate and not have the flesh on exhibit, carnality on exhibit, I believe that was the grace of God living in the life of Christ. The Lord didn't forsake him. And I believe the Lord will not forsake us either. If we have a heart and desire to live for God and serve God, we may be surmounted by our failures, our disappointments, other things that can trouble our mind or hinder us, but I believe God is always there by a promise that He's committed Himself. And not just that, but He loves His people. He loves His children. But Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But He said, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. I believe the Lord will help us. And I believe He'll make a way in our times of testing, in our times of trouble and difficulty. I believe the Lord will make a way to help us. Also, let's hold on to the promise. Let's be faithful to God. Keep ourselves committed to Him. And I believe we ought to do that. I believe, you know, when we don't feel His presence like we ought, we probably ought to examine ourselves, you know, examine our hearts. I believe that's a good process. Lord, if there's something that's displeasing you in my life? Is there something that I need to correct or amend? And I believe the Lord, if there is, the Lord will show us those things. But we want to be faithful to Him even when it seems like He's not answering prayer, when it seems like He's not there like we'd like for Him to be. I believe the Lord will help us. Jacob, he said, the Lord was in this place. The presence of the Lord was here, and I didn't realize it. And I believe sometimes when we look back, sometimes hindsight's a little bit better. But I believe when we look back, and as we look back, you know, the children of Israel, when the Lord was leading them up to the land of Canaan, it was just like they just didn't believe God was with them. You know, I mean, they were thirsty and they came to different places, different spots, and it was like they felt like God wasn't with them. They began to accuse Moses and they accused God of, you know, evil intent. We don't want to ever accuse God, do that. I don't believe that's a good thing to do. I believe we ought to surrender and submit our hearts to the will of God in our lives. But the Lord will help us. He'll be with us and He'll see us through to our journey's end. I believe that He'll be faithful to us. And I appreciate His goodness to us and His faithfulness. Pray for me.